Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'll be doing the second reading. It's from Matthew chapter 23. I'll be giving the talk today. So it's Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. It's page 991. So it's from verses 1 to 12. Nice. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord. Let me quickly pray before we have a look at this passage. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you we could come together. Thank you for your Son who has made us your people. We pray that your Spirit be with us and you would help us even this time to see us the truths in the Scriptures and put it into practice. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So few things invite more criticism of leadership than when a leader says one thing but does something else. So take, for instance, the coronavirus pandemic. The leader who set the lockdown rules itself was seen joining others for a social party. It attracted a lot of criticism. Leaders who advocate others to take action to tackle global warming and climate issues then end up attending climate conferences in private jet planes. They attract strong criticism. Such leaders do not practice what they ask others to do. This is the charge that Jesus brought upon the religious community that was existing during his time. Jesus is soon going to establish his own group of people, a community which will be called the church. Jesus sees the relevance of a community to exist. Jesus sees the relevance of Dagenham Parish Church as a community to exist. But then, in this passage, Jesus uses his charge against the religious community during his time to teach his followers on what are the wrong and the right response in Christian communities. So I have based my talk on two headings. So the first one is the wrong response in Christian communities. Do not seek to be seen first above others. So that's the first point I'm looking at. Do not seek to be seen first above others. So if you look at verse 1, Jesus was addressing two groups of people, the crowd and the disciples. Crowd possibly means those who are open to become a follower of Jesus, and disciples are already committed followers of Jesus. Then in verse 2, Jesus warns about teachers of the law and the Pharisees. What do? They sit in Moses' seat. What is the seat of Moses? A simple illustration would be of a bus driver's seat. Sometimes when I go on London buses, I see the bus stops at a certain place. One driver leaves the bus, and another driver, authorized by the bus company, gets on and replaces him. The bus seat is the same. It's there. It's static. But the person who takes over is different, yet they all have the same role. to drive the bus from destination A to destination B. Here in this Bible passage, it talks about Moses' seat. Moses was someone who was a leader who taught God's word to the people of Israel. Now, during Jesus' time, the teachers of the law and Pharisees were religious leaders who taught the Bible. So they are sitting on Moses' seat, meaning they have taken over the role from Moses as the authorized Bible teacher and leader. Then in verse 3 in our Bibles it says, "So you must be careful to do everything they tell you." There is a full stop, and then there is another sentence, "But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Some Bible commentators say verse 3 should be read as one long sentence rather than two sentences, and the emphasis is on the second half of the sentence. So Jesus probably said it tongue-in-cheek. So he was kind of saying, if he could paraphrase verse 3, Jesus is saying, "Of course you may do what they say if you like, but do not do what the teachers of the law and the Pharisees do." Jesus is pointing out here that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were disregarding God's word by not putting it into practice and showed no desire to be loyal to God or to love Him. Do they at least love the people they are teaching the word of God? Jesus says no. Imagine someone coming out of a grocery store in Dagenham Heathway. You see that person carrying heavy bags full of groceries. The person could not bear the weight. You can see the person is hunched under the weight and could not walk fast. How is the religious leaders going to respond? Jesus says in verse 4, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So the leaders and the Bible teachers who sat in Moses' seat, they taught the teachings from the Bible that God gave to be a blessing for people. However, they also added hundreds of unnecessary and additional rules and regulations and made the life of the people miserable. People already were struggling with different issues in their family life and work life and so on. Now the Pharisees and the teachers of the law have made life even more miserable. And what do? They not only make their life miserable, they also did not put in any effort to help those who were burdened by these unnecessary rules and regulations. So Jesus says, these religious leaders don't love God, neither do they love God's people. So why are they involved in God's community? Jesus mentions there are a couple of things they love or they are passionate about. That is what motivates them to be involved in God's community. And we can see that in verse 6 and in verse 7 if you look down. Firstly, in verse 6, Jesus says, they love places of honor. Jesus was kind of saying to his audience, have you ever been to a synagogue? Synagogues are religious worship places for Jewish people. Jesus was saying, where have you seen these religious people sit? Jesus was also kind of saying, have you ever been to a wedding banquet? These religious people are going and sitting in important seats. Why do they do that? Jesus' audience would have known why these religious people are sitting in these special places. They would have agreed with Jesus when he said, the religious leaders love places of honor. Secondly, in verse 7, Jesus highlights their second love. The religious leaders love to be called by special titles and given respect in public places. Because of these two loves, how does the religious leaders carry out their roles? The religious leaders ensure that everything is carried out in the way everyone can see it. So you can see that in verse 5, it says, everything they do is done for people to see. God-given responsibility had now been used to promote themselves before people, to climb up the ladder and sit in the highest seats of honor. or being given the highest titles in God's community. In verse 5, Jesus highlights a couple of things, the phylacteries and the tassels. So I've put some photos in there. This photo is about the phylacteries. They are just small boxes worn on the arm and the forehead containing scripture verses. These are mentioned in Exodus chapter 13 and Deuteronomy 6. So God gave them so that people could put them in the head and the hands. It's a way for helping God's people to remember that God's word needs to be close to your heart. God's word needs to be close to your mind. And then Jesus also highlights the tassels. That's in the next picture. Jewish men wore and still wear an outer blue and white garment that had tassels, loosely hanging threads that are specially knotted and worn on the corners of their garments. This was a command by God through Moses in Numbers chapter 15. This garment became the prayer shawl and covered the head during prayer for Jewish people. Even Jesus wore them. You could see in the Matthew's Gospel the people touching the fringe of the tassels of Jesus' cloak. The problem wasn't the wearing of phylacteries or tassels. It was broadening them and enlarging them so that others will notice and will see you as a religious person. The point of the tassel was also for one wearing them to look at them and be reminded of Lord's commandments. Now the religious leaders have turned it into something they wore to show others how pious they were, how holy they were, making them extra long so they stood out among all other people in the community. Using the bad examples of the teachers and the Pharisees, what sin was Jesus warning his followers to avoid? The sin is in thinking that what others think of you matter a great deal more than what God knows you to be. There is a gap between public persona and private character. Appearing outwardly religious to others while inwardly having no desire to walk with God and his ways. Everything is just a show. This is just not a first century problem, is it? Even to this day, there are Christian leaders who are obsessed with being called by specific titles and obsessed with being given special places to sit in religious gatherings and in weddings. They also don't practice what they preach. It is just not leaders alone. We could see that with people who attend church services regularly, fooling their friends in church, talking about Jesus all the time, but proudly living a sinful life during the week when other Christians are not watching them. Jesus warns in this passage to avoid such behavior. So it is good for me and for you to also think, what do we love that we are part of a Christian community like Dagenham Parish Church? We also need to be clear in this passage. Jesus was not talking about Christians who struggle with sinful patterns, those who fight against temptation, those who are confessing their sins to God, praying and keep doing what is right even on their worst feeling days. Jesus is not saying those who do what is right in the eyes of God, even when they don't feel like it, are putting up a show. That's not what he is teaching in this passage. In this passage, we saw how Jesus pointed out the wrong response in Christian communities. But he doesn't stop there. The next part of the passage talks about the right response. That's what we're going to look at the second point. The right response in Christian community is responding in humble service. Jewish religious leaders love to be called by certain titles. Jesus taught his followers not to love certain titles. So you see that in verse 8 to 10. So he says, three times Jesus emphasizes that the Christian leaders do not be called as a rabbi, that's a teacher, for there is only one in Christian communities who can be called as a teacher. Do not call anyone on earth as a father, for there is only one father in Christian communities. Do not be called as a leader, instructor, for there is only one instructor, Messiah, or Jesus Christ. So yeah, I think Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't call our dad as our father. That's not what he means. What he is criticizing here is that he's attacking the spirit of the Pharisees. In God's community, only one person deserves certain titles. That is God. Now, Jewish leaders, by being passionate about certain titles, they took the place of God and sought the honor that needs to be given to God. Jesus was saying to his followers, stay humble. See other believers as brothers and sisters. Yes, leaders are there in Christian communities, but they aren't there to view themselves as superior to others. What are they then supposed to do? They should seek to serve. If you see in verse 11, leaders, Bible teachers, and those with authority, they are put in place by Christ so that they would be a model for service. Why does Jesus say that? Because in Jesus and God's eyes, the true leader among his people, or the greatest, is the one who is a servant. Just because I'm in the front and I teach the Bible, I don't get to be seen in an exalted position by Jesus. Jesus is constantly watching. Am I using this opportunity to serve others in the church to get to know God's word better? Am I a good servant? That is what matters to Jesus. It could be said about other Christians here as well. Jesus wants you to be a servant. Jesus expects his followers to turn up to church meetings with the mentality, what can I do to serve others? Our question should not be, what can I get from a church service? That's the same question he wants us to ask when we go back to our families. How can I serve my family? That's the same question he asks us to ask during the week. How can I serve the people in my school or in my uni or in my workplace? When you come to church, you can serve others by praying for them. You can serve them by starting a conversation and saying things that could serve them in their spiritual walk with God. It can sometimes mean others might not be happy with what you said to them, but you still make yourself available to serve them in love. You can serve others by taking different responsibilities in church. Use your gifts and talents not to exalt yourself before others, but to serve them. People might not notice you or appreciate you. At times, you might never receive any recognition in church community, in this temporary life on earth. Even if that happens, that is okay. Jesus is saying, God is watching. And as we see in verse 11, you'll be seen as greatest in his eyes. So the question is, when you live in communities, what do you want to achieve? To be seen as great in other people's eyes? Or seek to be seen great in God's eyes? Jesus wants us to go for exaltation in God's eyes. Jesus says this to his followers for another reason as well, that we could see in verse 12. Jesus initially said certain people will be seen great by God, but he also goes on to say only certain people will end up in exalted positions eventually. So if you have ever been on a London Underground train, you would have heard the announcement, please mind the gap. The announcement is important because the gap is like a trap. You think you're landing in the platform, but if you don't mind the gap, you end up somewhere else. Here in this passage, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law act in a certain way, thinking they are ending up in exalted positions. In the long run, in a world where there is one true living God, according to verse 12, these people will end up in a different place. But also in the Bible, we see Jesus, who was an humble servant, ended up in an exalted position. The Matthew's Gospel highlights that Jesus was not just a religious teacher who gave us these teachings. He was also someone who practiced what he taught. He was also someone, even though he was God, he came as a human to serve us. Matthew says he's Emmanuel, God with us. He did more than lift his finger to ease our burdens. He was willing to die, carrying the burden of our sins on the cross. However, God brought him back to life and exalted him to be the everlasting king in God's kingdom. Jesus shows us the way for true exaltation. But we need to mind the gap. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who is the true word, who came as man and has shown us the Father, has shown us how God works in this world. Father, we pray that you would help us all to know you and to be exalted in your eyes. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.